Hello, everyone!
Yes!
I can't believe you did that. How dare you? How dare you do that? That's my line. It's my line. And it's higher anyways. Hello, everyone!
Hello, everyone!
Yeah, you gotta... Hello. Let me do you. Hello.
Sorry.
Hi, guys.
What?
Hi. How are you?
I was fine until apparently I sound like Frankenstein.
Hi, guys. You actually, I don't know why I'm doing that. You don't sound like that.
I literally don't sound anything like that.
And welcome
at least
to
I hope I don't.
The show. I thought we'd try it.
Sorry. Yeah, okay.
Well, no, you've missed it now.
Oh.
What's new in your life? You've moved to London. You're now working with the NHS. You're still working for that boxing gym. Got all sorts.
Yes.
You've got all sorts going
Rathbone on. Boxing Club.
Rathbone.
Get yourselves down there. Yeah, Rathbone Boxing Club. It's down on top, off just off Tottenham Court Road on Rathbone. I was going to call it Rathbone Place.
Rathbone Street. That's quite a...
Yep.
A peculiar name. Rathbone. I've never heard that name. Like, why is it called Rathbone? Is that after the person who owned it? Or is that like a company? What is that?
Was there a Lord Rathbone around the time? Like
Rathbone.
I
don't know why.
Yeah.
That name just sounds Rathbone. Kind of... weird. No offense to anyone who's called Rathbone. Not weird, just sort of kind of cool. I don't know.
Yeah, William Rathbone was an English merchant and businessman in the 1800s.
There you go.
And who sat in the House of Commons. That would be why it's named that, probably.
Rathbone.
The place. You've got Rathbone Place, though, as well. You've got there's quite a few Rathbones around in London. Then you had Basil Rathbone, the actor, played Sherlock Holmes and Guy of Gisborne in the 30s. There you go. I know all about the Rathbones, apparently.
Yeah, you know a bit too much.
A bit too much.
A bit suspicious.
For I am a Rathbone!
Yes. Yes.
Good.
Good.
What about you? How are you?
I'm okay. Yeah. Just writing some things, trying to get things moving. Got some really exciting things on the way, which I really hope I get to tell people about soon. But it's just a constant up and down, you know.
You've already told me.
This industry.
I hear about it all the time.
I know. Well, I have to vent because it's honestly one week it's like yay, and the next week it's like, and then it's like yay again. Literally this morning. In the case of this morning, in honestly the space of like 30 minutes, I went from yes to oh no to yes again, and it was just like this is not good for my health. But we love it.
Mm.
We love it. Mm. You know,
we do. Crafting. That's just the life of a writer, isn't it? Life of a
creative.
Life of
anyone, who's doing this thing. I'm not complaining. I'm just narrating. You know, because that is literally what it's like.
And
but it's good to talk.
Podcast is really
just good narrating. To talk. Just, you know, good to talk.
Yeah,
about
yeah, of course.
Because everyone experiences it. You probably experience it. You. Listening. I'm there for you.
Is that weird? Don't creep them out.
Was that grieving?
That's not fair.
That was supposed to be quite comforting. Escape all your worries the rest of your days. It's our problem for free. Philosophy. The Shosho Matata.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Alrighty then. Well, you've clearly had quite the week. Your head's everywhere.
My head is everywhere.
I'm enjoying it.
I mean, I've almost forgotten how we do these without guests.
I suppose so, but...
Well...
Joseph was so much fun. Well,
Joseph
I mean,
was
talking
good.
About it with Blythe.
Yeah, if you haven't listened, go back and listen.
Mm.
It's a really good show, really interesting. Talks a lot about being in films, which we haven't had a lot of. Kind of that process.
Yeah, I suppose we did, didn't we? I just still can't get over that, the fact that we were talking to someone of the same age as us about that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But that's great, as in, like, it's just so overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah, she's flown out of the, what do you call them?
Blocks.
Flown out the blocks.
What were you going to say?
I was probably going to say blocks. I was thinking...
Oh.
Yeah. No, wait, what are those things that horses go out of? Is it out of the blocks? Yeah.
Well, the phrase is out of the blocks. I don't know what... Houses? Horses go out the gate, I think.
Flown out the gate. I think you can say both.
Yeah, you can.
Interchangeable.
But ultimately, Tom, you can say what you like. Yeah, if you want to say flown out of the shoe, you can.
Yeah, I don't think people understand that. That sounds like you've fallen over.
Which actually would be the opposite of what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Flown out of my shoes. Sounds dangerous.
Funny.
So this week. So this week was interesting because there's not, again, it was a bit like there wasn't that many.
Were there not? Scores.
I don't, maybe I'm getting confused with Let me check this, everyone.
Because I can think of a couple.
Yeah, so can I.
I think.
But why did we choose we chose this one for, I thought we chose this. Oh, no, you're right. There is a few. I think we wanted to do something a little bit more kind of left field.
Well, it wasn't just that. I think we were in a position where I think some of the other K's were by like Rodgers and Hammerstein.
That's it.
We had a K by someone else that I've...
Well, Kinky Boots is obviously...
Kinky Boots, yeah,
another,
and that was it.
Another
Kinky
commercial.
Quite a commercial one, been on recently. We haven't done a show by these composers who are obviously very influential for lots of reasons. And we haven't done yet a kind of, you know, we said at the beginning of this journey, we'll do some hidden gems. And I don't think this is necessarily a massively hidden gem, but I do think it doesn't get crazy amounts of it doesn't get talked about a lot.
Well, we'll talk about
that. I think
it
should be because I really like it.
Because I was quite surprised at how little there was on the old wiki. It was quite hard to find out anything about it.
Anything.
And yet...
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It was quite successful. I mean, it was very successful, actually.
Especially when you think about how many awards it won and stuff. And yeah, odd, right?
So yes, this week's letter is...
K!
Yes. K. K.
Yes.
K. And K... obviously means
the kiss of the spider woman.
Oh dear. Wait, what was that? No, you kind of, it sounded choking on
it. I didn't want to let it out. I didn't want to do the X Factor voice though. I wanted to do something different.
Something a bit different.
Another announcer.
So instead you went for,
I wonder what that sounds like. Yes, the kiss of the Spider-Woman. Was it not good?
No, it was all right. It just...
It sounds like, Man in a Box. You know, like Rob Brydon's thing where he's got a man in a box.
Yeah, it didn't sound like that. It sounded like a man taking a
The kiss of the Spider-Woman.
No, that's not good. It's all trapped, isn't it?
The kiss of the Spider-Woman. The kiss of the spider.
It does just sound quite haunting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The kiss of the Spider Woman. The kiss of the Spider Woman.
Now that, hello.
Yeah, that was cool, right?
Hello.
Yeah.
We've landed on that. Nice. We workshopped it. And we got it.
Chucks and stuff like that. It's important just to feel like you can make mistakes in the room, yeah? But yes, kiss of the Spider Woman.
Yeah.
Or,
as it should be known, el beso de la... Oh, I fucked it because I was drinking coffee.
Is it known as that? I think I prefer the title that they've got, actually.
it's you know, in its native Spanish, el beso de la mujer araña.
I was saying, when I read that, I was like, he's definitely going to treat us to some Spanish. And I'm glad you did, because I tried to read it. And you know when there's a little, and there's a little squiggle over the N?
Yeah, a tilde. It's called a tilde.
A tilde. How do you do that? Renya.
Nya. Nya.
Nya. Yeah, I thought so. I didn't read it right. Okay, I'm learning. Mm-hmm. I'm absorbing. So, Kiss the Spider Woman. I think, you know, like we said, people may be aware of this, may not be so aware. I think it's good to get into the plot. Let's get into the plot.
Let's get into the plot. Let's do it.
So that we can start from there. Because it's a very good place to start.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
All right.
Okay,
then.
So you're going to have 45 seconds to tell us the plot, Geddy. I'm going to time you.
Yeah,
I think that's quite an important one. Because, do you think this is a hard one?
I don't...
There's not a lot going on, but then
I think we'll talk about it in more depth when we get, like, after I've done it.
Yeah, maybe that's probably best.
But I don't think it's necessarily hard to describe what the plot is. I think it's hard to then go into what it's about, why it's about it, what's actually going on, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
One of those, you know.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Set in mid-1970s Argentina, Molina is in jail for corrupting a minor. He fantasizes about movies in order to escape the pain of torture. One day, Valentin is thrown into his cell, arrested as a key member of a revolutionary group. They don't get on at first at all, but talk to block out the sounds of torture. They become closer, telling each other their lives and loves. Molina eats poisoned food intended for Valentin, and upon returning from hospital, Valentin starts suffering from the same symptoms, but Molina looks after him instead of going to the hospital as they're scared that they'll make him talk. Molina is allowed a phone conversation as he's being allowed to released early. Valentin persuades him with sex in order to make a call for him. He gets caught making the call and won't tell them who he made the call to. So the warden draws his pistol and then shoots Molina after he confesses his love for Valentin, who dies with a kiss of the Spider Woman.
Wow, that was exactly 45 seconds. Well done. I don't think it's ever happened before.
Get in.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, isn't it? Basically. That's the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's 2 hours and 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So there's a
I think we should start by saying, you know, no, I didn't just say it in Spanish to be pretentious. It was a book by an Argentinian called Manuel Puig originally. So I think before we go into what like the show is about or whatever, we have to acknowledge that the book came first by Manuel Puig. Because actually the book itself was kind of very innovative for its time in that it has no narrative structure. It's mostly written in dialogue, but instead of being told as readers who is speaking, there's dashes. So you're never entirely sure who is speaking when in certain bits. And it's like split into five or six fantasies or films, because Molina is obsessed with films. And so we kind of get this relationship between two men in real time, almost. Obviously, it's not real time because we're not reading for however many months or whatever it goes on for. But so to put that into a musical, you know, must have been really strange.
Terrence,
I mean, really
McNally
cool that they tried
actually
it.
Had quite a lot of work to do, wouldn't he?
Well, luckily they had Terrence McNally, who was, you know, a genius of our time, who sadly died of COVID.
I know.
Bloody COVID.
Yeah, so he would have had quite a lot of work to do. But also, that's quite nice, a book writer. You've got the source material, you know it's really good. Mm. But you kind of almost, like the lines are almost there for you just to kind of pick and choose who you want to give them to and... You know.
Yeah. Well, like the script is there, I suppose, isn't it? My knowledge of the show's script is not great. But, you know, it'd be interesting to dive into it and compare it with the book and see how much of it maybe has been lifted straight from the book. Because if you've got a book that is essentially a script, you know, it is just dialogue, then yes, okay, it makes it hard to make a big narrative, you know, like a musical theatre narrative, which we're so used to. Yeah, that might have been difficult, but actually the dialogue might have been quite quite easy. Because then they've also, I mean, in the show, they've also then got all these revolutionary things flowing through it, haven't they? With the Viva la Revolución and all that stuff that they say lots and lots towards the end. And the day after that being a very revolutionary song towards the end. And they've got those themes going through. And then they've also got all those kind of queer themes running through the whole thing. You know, Melina's a window dresser and he enjoys dressing them up. That's what he sings. He has a whole song about dressing them up. Yeah, and in the book, it was a Melina's a transgender woman.
Really?
Mm.
I was not aware of that.
Mm. Transgender woman.
Well, they, I read somewhere that this was quite, they said that this was quite like a bold topic.
Mm.
I think they said, because it did quite well at the Tonys, and they and someone said it was quite quite miraculous, really, considering it was up against quite a few other good musicals that were just kind of more commercial, and yet it still won the best musical. But yeah, I suppose the topics that it was addressing, particularly with the gay rights issues, were probably still for an American audience a bit.
Well, I wouldn't say. I mean, even still now, I bet, you know.
Well, that's what I'm. Well, that is what. That's my whole point. This is 20 years ago.
Yeah, it would pack a punch now, a big one.
Yeah,
it's almost 30 years ago, bro.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 30 years in 2 years' time. It's 28 years ago. Yeah, because I remember reading that Frank Rich. Is it Frank Rich? The guy, the critic at the New York Times at the time, wrote that, you know, even though it was a show that may have glamorized and made torture and kind of drug abuse and what life in prison is actually like very show busy, you know, actually ultimately it made an uncloseted, unhomogenized, unexceptional gay man who arrives at his own heroic definition of masculinity, is what he said. And in 1993, I imagine that was quite a big thing. But even now, that would be that would still pack a massive punch, you know, for a lot of people.
There's this brilliant song, Shame, Don't Bring Shame to Me or something.
Mm-hmm. In the show?
You can never shame me, that's it, yeah.
You can never shame me. Yeah.
And the lyrics are like, some mothers have boys who basically go out and cause trouble and I'm really masculine and kind of lists all these things that are your typical, you know, masculine bloke and what we think we should be proud of our boys.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like Gaston, actually. Funny that.
Yeah.
But like all the themes in Gaston.
Same year, almost.
Yeah, well, there you go. And then she says, but like, you're just kind and loving and you'd never hurt anyone. And that's what being a man's about. And that's why I'm not. That's why you can never shame me.
But also, it's not like we could have seen it. I don't even know when the last time this was on in
Well, that's in the thing. It's so bizarre. So it was 92, I think.
Mm. The original show was the last time it was on, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not been put on.
I know yet. The play's been here. The play, there's a play of it. And I know that was on at the Menier, like, I don't know, 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 3 years ago, I don't know. But I don't know about the musical.
This is what I mean by it's such a successful show, yet nobody. And also, like the topics it talked about and addresses, really relevant today, like everything we've just spoken
so
about.
So relevant.
So I don't know why. I think it would do quite well.
But yeah, see, if someone were to put it on in the next year or 2 years, it would be so relevant and so right for the times.
You know, I really like is yeah.
Maybe we should do it. Maybe we should just do it. Maybe we should just put it on, Tom. Let's show productions done. Great, well done. We've got a new project.
That's actually quite good.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, let's do it.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first, guys. That's it.
It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called The Quiz of the Spider Woman. Yes. So quiz time. Quiz time. The quest
quiz.
The theater show continues. And I think you're leading the way.
Yes, we should really write down the scores because I don't remember them.
I have the scores. Are you ready?
Mm.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this? Are you standing on the edge of your seat? Yes.
You are literally on the edge of your seat,
I am,
aren't you?
Actually, because otherwise it'll squeak. So I believe I'm on 14. I believe you're on 16 and a half.
Oh, yes.
Pretty sure. Yeah, I'm right. 14, you're on 16 and a half. So it's all to play for. All to play for. Now, it's going to be interesting because it comes back to this. There's been very few productions. The Wikipedia page is quite scarce. So there might be some overlap. I think this could be a high scoring round, but it might also just completely fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. Because also, because obviously, guys, there are other things to research on than Wikipedia. There, the surrounding websites didn't really have much either.
No, nothing.
Who wants to go first?
So you're in the lead, so you go first. That's the rule, I think.
What, that you've just made up?
No, I made up in the Heights, if you listen back. That's another one. You should go listen to that, everyone. It's a good show.
I love how you say that's another one you should listen to. I mean, in theory, please listen to all of it.
Please.
Don't
listen to them all.
Listen to all of them.
And
if
anyone
wants
to give us any money, that would be nice as well.
Okay. Question number one.
Okay, good.
How many performances did it run for in the West End?
Hilarious.
Here we
go. Hilarious. I knew it. I told you. I told you it would happen.
It would, wouldn't it?
Just give yourself a point.
Great.
That's your third question, and it's 390. Opened 390, I should say 390 for anyone who missed that. I said that quite quickly. Premiered 1992, October 20th, 1992. Mm. Again, a really good run.
Yeah, especially for London. Like, I mean,
like, I don't get it. Where is this show? Why has this been lost to the
also Cheetah Rivera was in it. Like, yeah. It's not, like Cheetah Rivera was in it. She is an icon.
Are we missing something? Like, has there been some weird thing that's happened that we don't know about? I don't know.
Well, if we typed in Kiss of the Spider Woman musical and something weird had happened, it would be there. You know? I don't know.
I mean, literally, it's
so
not
strange.
Been put on since properly.
Well, not here.
Since that day. And then Broadway.
Yeah, I mean, it was off Broadway in 2007. But even then, it hasn't even been on tour in America since the 90s. I mean, what is going on here, guys? Sort it out.
Okay, so
1 point each. Okay.
So you're on 17 and a half?
Yeah, thank you. Wait, a half? Where did the half come from? I thought it was 16, 14.
No, 16 and a half. If you were listening.
Oh, sorry.
That earlier, yeah.
All right. Blimey.
Okay, my turn. What did Skander and Ebb score tie with at the 1993 Tony Awards?
I did know this.
And I know it's another
show, goodbye.
But it is.
Was it the Goodbye Girl?
It was not. It was Tommy.
Tommy, that was it.
The Who's. Yeah. They tied. Won. Which is really rare.
It is really rare.
Really rare. They tied with Best.
Tommy is one that I actually know nothing about, have never seen, and never really engaged in. Yeah, maybe we should.
What else there is for tea? Oh, no, I just gave myself a point. I don't get a point. You just don't get one.
No, I just don't get one. Yeah.
Okay, my go.
Okay, Tom, question number two. Who originally played the role of Melina?
Melina. Oh! You know what's so funny? I went down, that every week. I went down the list of names, right? And I was like, I need to remember these. But I just knew it was a pointless task. I read this name three or four times.
I even forget. Do you know what? To people listening and to you, it probably sounds like what I'm doing is attacking your Achilles heel of name remembering. I'm really not. It's just actually... just a question I wanted to ask. I forget that you are rubbish with names. ironically.
I've got notes here, but I've just got names. I don't know. What's that? I think it's like German. Is there a German? Something Stein?
Just answer the question.
I don't know.
You don't know. His name is Brent Carver, who also sadly died this year.
Oh, in the... Did you say the West... Did I miss that? Did you say the original West End?
Oh, I just said original, yeah.
Oh. So I was thinking... Here it is. I was thinking of John Rubenstein.
Oh, John Rubenstein. Oh, the guy who played him in the workshop.
Yeah. That's who... I literally clicked on his Wikipedia as well. And he's a composer. Oh,
sorry. But we should also just take a moment to say that, yeah, Brent Carver also died in the last year. Died in summer 2020, sadly. Can't remember what of. I think it was cancer. I don't think it was... or something. I don't think it was COVID. But yeah, sad. He was in the original cast of Parade as well by Jason Robert Brown. So.
I listened to that
today. Yeah.
It came up as a suggestion after this.
Hmm. There you go. It'll be because of Brent Carver.
Oh, that's sad. Yeah. Okay, you'll go. My question now.
Okay, come on then. Come on then.
Gone. Off you pop.
No, I just asked you a question, Tom. I literally just asked you a question. Yeah.
I told you, I can't remember things.
No.
Also memory. Right, ready?
Yes. This is my second question.
Yes. Why?
Why?
Was the second cast recording produced in 1994?
Because critics said they thought the cast that were in it at that time, the replacement cast, was better than the original cast.
Correct. Yes. Correct.
That's pretty... I don't know.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it? What do you say to that?
I don't know what you say to that. Imagine being in the original cast.
I know. And then the producer saying, oh, well, a year later, we're going to bring out this album because they're better than you.
Yeah, well, I suppose the producers aren't really... I suppose they are saying that, aren't they? Because they're agreeing and they're... Or are they just pandering? Are they just pandering? Or shall I say, candering? candering. They're just pandering to the critics, aren't they?
You're ebbing towards the line there.
Right, where were we? They were just pandering to critics, I suppose. But then they are kind of just admitting that the second cast was better than the first one if they do it.
Well, it's a shame because... But I always go for...
The second cast recording.
This is probably... I think this is probably because of my experience with the Les Mis cast recordings, because of the quality of recording. I always listen to the newest album, so I feel bad because I feel like I would just listen to the new one, and the original cast recording would be. But people like an original cast recording, don't they? Maybe I'm unique in that. Hey guys. Why don't you send us an email? Send us an email. Do you prefer the cast recording, original cast, or the newest ones? Maybe we'll do a poll.
Yeah, put a poll out on Instagram. Oh, Tom, look at that. Yeah. Great minds, eh?
Let's do it.
Let's do a poll.
I'm going to write a note.
Anyway, back to Kiss of the Spider Woman. Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Tom.
Yeah.
What was the name of the company that originally developed the show in 1990?
Sonus or something? New Musicals, wasn't it called? New Musicals, they did 16 New Musicals working from
Correct.
Home. Yeah, New Musicals.
New Musicals working from home. What?
Working from, oh. Before you sit there. Subconscious, working from home. No, it was. It was called, hang on.
No, it was called New Musicals. But they would do, like, the point of them was that they were to create and develop and produce a working home for 16 New Musicals.
Oh, a working home. Okay, well, all right, okay.
Not working from home. That's very 2021.
Working from home. I don't go to the office anymore. Okay, great.
Nice one, man. Also, though, do you know how harsh this is? Like, because of part of the process was that they were say they asked critics not to come to the presentation of it.
I was gonna say,
and then they did anyway, gave it some not very good reviews, and then the whole company
outrageous.
I do, and then the whole company, New Musicals, collapsed after Spider-Woman because I mean that's just so harsh.
I don't get it though, like. And I haven't seen, so I can't claim this. But I would imagine the critics didn't even say this is we shouldn't have. We were asked not to publish this or anything. Because when we did Serial Cafe with the workshop there, we said to people, please do not. You can come and see it, but please do not
review it
because this is literally the bare bones of what
people
of an
don't
idea.
Like with workshops.
I think that's
like,
so
even...
weird. Why would
like
you
it's,
do that?
It's just so weird. I don't know. Why would you do that? Like, is it because Hal Prince was directing it, maybe? Is it like you just, and Susan Stroman was...
But
like
it doesn't
you
give you any credibility.
It, but like, it doesn't give you right.
It doesn't give you credibility because you're reviewing something that isn't finished. So what...
I know.
Your review is obsolete.
But also, it's not just that. It's the fact that they caught, like, his review... Not just his, I suppose. Frank Rich, this is. But I suppose there might have been others, but the one that is... talked about is Frank Rich's one. Like, it's the fact that his review caused a company that was set up to create new musical theatre to collapse. That's awful. Like,
yeah, that's
you know,
so
we're
bad,
especially in this
after
country.
You've, you know, been asked not to do that. I think
exactly. Really... And like, we're at a time in this country where we really need companies like that. We really need a lot of. Companies who are just solely there to get a new musical from an idea to the West End.
Yeah, and there's some really
and we
great
need
ones.
That. And you know what? If that's what's going to happen, you know, if that's a precedent that has been set, I'm not surprised people didn't do it very much afterwards, you know? Because, you know, you're seeing at the beginning of the 90s a show that's written by Kander and Ebb, you know, who worked with Bob Fosse, who has worked many times with Howard Prince and Howard Prince is about to direct this thing with Susan Stroman. And that fails at workshop because of... And then the company fails. Like, that's just so bad. It just creates such a negative, like, atmosphere around new musical theatre. It's just such a shame that happened. I'd never heard of new musicals before I'd read this, ever. And it's a shame because... To create 16 new musicals over 4 years is a big project. And if they'd managed to do that, just imagine what could have happened with companies like that afterwards, you know? It's everywhere, not just...
Well,
not
you've
just
got,
America.
Like, you've got, like, you know, like Paul Taylor Mills does MT Fest. You've got Perfect
MT Fest
Pitch Musicals.
Now, yeah.
You've got MMD. Aria Entertainment. Katie Lipson's quite good at getting new stuff out. Red Piano Productions is a good new one for anyone who's...
Did you say Perfect Pitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got them. We've got them. It's just obviously they need support, especially after COVID. They're going to need even more support because otherwise we're just going to be... I remember a documentary about musical theatre that was saying like in the 80s, you know, Broadway was going through a bit of a lull because it was just getting an invasion of British shows, you know, Cats, Phantom, Les Mis. I mean, when I say British, Les Mis just counts as British because it was here, but obviously it's French, but you know what I mean? And Jesus Christ Superstar before it, and it was basically just getting an influx of British shows, and they were going through a bit of a lull. They couldn't seem to get a lot of American shows seen in the same way, and I think we're going through something similar and have done now for a while. Jamie and Six being the exception to the rule.
Yeah,
that I can think of.
This all we were. I think I was talking about this in a writing meeting. Last week, 2 weeks ago, and we were just saying, yeah, they're all American imports.
All of them. And what you're talking and what you're thinking about coming, or what the rumours are that are coming, they're all just transfers. Or what they are, and this is like, you know, they're Prince of Egypt, which is like amazing that it opened here, but it only opened here because they couldn't get theatre on Broadway.
Yeah.
Just silly that we're looking at our theatres already being backed up for a while because of COVID. But then they're also backed up with transfers, you know, Mean Girls, Hello Dolly, you know, Sunday in the Park with George, you know, all the, I mean, that's less of a thing because it's a revival of an old one, but it we're bringing the Broadway production over. No one's doing something new with it.
Yeah, but I've seen stuff on Twitter about Where's the New Rising.
God, you've got to ask me a final. Yeah.
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, because we asked the same one. So the scores, scores on the doors at the end.
Did I ask you both of mine? Yeah, I did.
Scores on the doors at the end is 18.5 to you and 16 to me.
Also, we've remained.
So it's literally the same.
The same
gap.
Distance. Yeah. The gap is the same.
It's the same.
What's your favorite song and why?
So, Geddy.
No, you can go first. I feel like I go first a lot with the music section.
Do you? Well, okay.
I don't know, I feel like I do.
My favorite song. Well, it was kind of a tie. You know me, I'm a sucker for kind of a lovely, warm ballad, sort of comforting. Just simple, kind of lyrical piano or strings or anything. So my favourite was probably Dear One. Dear One.
Yes.
Also, I think it's quite good.
That fits the vibe.
It captures that. I think it captures his subconscious quite well.
Yeah.
Both of their subconscious, you know, the whole thing of what you say to yourself to try and get through times, like a tough time, you know, when you're thinking about your loved ones and hoping that they're okay. And I think it does it really well by just having them sing what they're kind of, it's almost harsh what they're singing, but you know that it's bringing, like, for example, no, I don't think about you. I do nicely without you. But it's like them hearing that is reassuring to them, that because all they want, and it's really good for the character development because it shows that they're, you know, he's very selfless. He's like, I don't care. This isn't about me. I just want my mum to be fine. And then I love at the end of the chorus that it says, someday you'll believe the lie. So actually it's like, it's really sweet because it's like, oh no, just so you know, we do love you. We do miss you.
Yeah.
And we're just saying this to... So it's kind of from both sides. It's him trying to convince himself that they're okay because they don't miss him or them, both the guys. And then from their side, they're trying to say it to comfort them, but then they can't help but at the end say, oh, but obviously none of this is true because we love you.
And it's interesting musically, like, because it happens a lot, I think, in musical theatre. I say that, but I can think of two examples where it's that kind of... that figuration of dum bum dum bum bum dum bum dum bum 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 bum, like that rolling kind of accompaniment. It's like a lullaby. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's a calming sensation you hear when you kind of listen to that kind of music. And the other kind of example that's screaming at me is Maybe for Miss Saigon. Do you know what I mean? And it's, I don't know, it's like kind of fits in with what you're saying about lulling you into a full sense of like belief. But then actually, no, it is a lullaby. And the whole point of a lullaby or that kind of that type of song is that it's meant to calm you and it's meant to make you feel at ease. It's meant to make you feel loved. It's meant to make you feel comforted. Do you know what I mean?
Also, I'm a sucker for a lyric where everyone comes in at the end of the song and sings the same word, but it means
different
things for everyone. I love that. I love when you find that. When you're writing something, it's a good moment. It's just like the 9 to 5 song. I just might.
Yeah.
They're all singing it, and it does mean the same for all of them, but it also means something completely different.
Yeah,
it's all the individual to each of them. I love it. I think that's just like smart.
And then I suppose
writing.
For this show, it touches on what's real and what's not real. Really, really well. You know what I mean? Because, like, it's like what we were saying earlier about when he's in hospital. Does he actually see his mum? Is she actually there? We obviously don't know. And it's kind of like when we hear the Spider Woman or whatever. Yeah, okay, we know that's not real. But the mum or Martha, like, are these things that have been said to them before? You know, And that's why they're singing it in this, as I tried to explain maybe really badly about like the lullaby kind of motion. They're just singing it to themselves and they're hearing it in order to calm themselves and to kind of make themselves feel loved, you know.
Also, Dear One is repeated. Dear One is in every other line, just the whole way through, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's just great. Because from the off, you kind of, there's this undertone of a lie. You can kind of, they build to the line, you'll believe the lie really well. Because you never, like, you never really believe what they're saying. Because obviously they say Dear One. And just by saying that, what the line that follows, I don't think about you, is a lie. Because two just juxtapose each other. Dear One, I don't think about you. It doesn't make sense.
And it juxtaposes the music. So
very good.
Well, that's very 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 good. I also I really enjoyed that song. It's a very emotive song. Makes you feel things, doesn't it? Makes you feel things, which is always a good sign of a song.
Yeah, not bad for a musical to do, is it?
Not bad for a musical to do that. My favorite song is The Day After That, which is sung by Valentin at the towards the end of the show. I suppose I have emotional connection to that song because when I was at RAM last year, we did a Hal Prince concert, and we did four songs from Kiss of the Spider Woman, and this was the one that we ended our first act on, and it was just amazing getting to sing that song. The chorus at the end, after shout out, Georgie Salmon, smacking out the solo. It was amazing. And it's one of those moments where you just feel such unity with a room. I don't know. It sounds really strange to say and really wanky to say, but ultimately, it just felt so much unity. And having experienced that, you know, I now hear that song and I'm just like, oh, yes, this is amazing. Come on, people. And musically, it's just so, you know, the beginning is so tentative and you get that really horrible church bell sound at the beginning, signifying what's to come, which you think this is going to be a really horrible song about how his family were left to die in the slums of somewhere in Argentina. You know, he talks about beefsteak being this really welcome and wonderful thing that he might be able to have one day, you know, and then his mum, you know, welcomes death, and he welcomed death for his mum at the time when he was a child, and you hear it all in this tentative music, and then it just turns into this massive uplifting chorus which comes out of basically nowhere considering the beginning of the song. It's just it gets me every time, and it's beautiful. It's really, really beautiful.
Well, it's quite similar to the song that you mentioned. That's interesting, isn't it? We've got our songs that we like. It is quite similar to the song that you mentioned from In the Heights.
Oh, Paciente y Fe.
Yeah. When they speak about the hardships of coming over and what they went through, but actually there's beauty in
struggle.
The beauty in the struggle and the honour they feel from going through that.
Yeah, odd. I suppose that is kind of the things I like, because then, you know, it's like it's like my favourite song in Les Mis is Javert's Suicide.
Well, you know, because they're all confession songs, aren't they?
Yeah,
that's what you like.
They are.
You like a good confession song. You like.
I like someone being honest.
I know you're not the biggest fan of it, but do you like Words Fail? You think that's? I mean, come on, that's.
Yeah. It probably is like my favorite moment of the show. Yeah, musically.
And that's just
one of, and Requiem as well. Actually, yeah, and Requiem's the same thing.
There you go. Yeah.
Confession songs. I do, but I think there is something you can do musically with them. I think musically with confession songs, you can, and I think Kander and Ebb do it so well, Kander in this case, that does it so well. You can lead people down such a path where you think you're going. As I say, very like dum, 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 dum. Okay, this is going to be really horrible, scary song, sad, blah, blah, blah. And then you can just take them the complete opposite. You know, it's what Germans did and Beethoven did. Sturm und Drang. You get the storm and the... Oh, gosh, I can't remember what it is now. Storm and something. And you get the... And Italians, chiaroscuro. You know, you get the light and the dark. And I think with confession songs, that's what you get. You get, like, one extreme emotion telling about all this rubbish, and then you get the other extreme, which is his beauty. And I think it's something Kanda and Ebb do really well with this song. Something I think Lin-Manuel Miranda does really well, Paciencia y Fe, which is like the dichotomy between the music and what she's saying and the heritage. And it's something that I think Schoenberg and Bublé will do well with Javert's Suicide. You know, it's and it's very interesting that you mention that, because I didn't really recognize that before in my tastes, but you are right. You are right. Yeah, we both forgot.
Yeah, it's hard. I'm so used to the guests.
Yeah, that's the thing. We both forgot to kind of ask around this week, even though we know a lot of performers and we know they definitely have some stage rights. So this week we've got kind of, we're keeping it in the family.
We are.
Aren't we?
Keeping it in the family. And also it is a really good story.
It is a really good story. So
I'm very excited for people to hear it.
Yeah, so listeners, we're going to grace you with the presence of Tom's sister, Katie. Here we go.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, good. The connection's fine. Okay. Hi, Katie.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
This is my sister, everyone. She's on the podcast.
This is so fabricated. It's so,
I know.
Like... I'm happy to be here.
So, Katie, you've got a stage fright story for us, haven't you?
I do indeed. One that still haunts me to this day.
Brilliant. I mean, I've heard it, so I'm really looking forward to you telling Eddie and the listeners. So, well, the floor is yours. Please take it away.
Sure. So, I was in a community arts group back in school. So it was the kind of thing where we went and like sang to old people's homes and different charities and things like that. And during one of the performances, we basically were doing this song where it was a trainer and a conductor, and we were meant to sing to the train driver and then the conductor, and we all forgot the lyrics. And it was really funny, you know how it is when you're on stage. This wasn't actually on stage, this was in like a care home sort of setting, so we were all on one level. Anyway, we finished the song, just about got through it, really funny. And as we're moving into position for the next number, I noticed that there's a massive puddle on the floor. And so I thought that someone had like spilt their water bottle or something. So I went to go and, you know, look up and be like, oh guys, you know, be careful of this massive puddle. And I just got this absolute death stare from my friend that was just like, no, no, no. And then I realized, looking down at her tights that were slightly sticking to her leg, that she had wet herself in this care home in front of all these old people. And there was this massive, because it's kind of like a linoleum floor, like a massive just puddle. So then for the rest of like all the numbers that we had to do, everyone was kind of darting around the puddle. And I think everyone else did just think it was water, because we had water bottles with us, but I knew the truth. So, yeah, that's it.
Gosh.
But it was very funny, but it was, and also obviously we had to mingle.
How old were
end.
You? How old were you? 16?
17, 18.
Whoa.
And we had to mingle.
Oh, I was joking. Well. Were you actually 17, 18?
Yeah, it was in final year of school.
Oh my
god. When we were doing like our community work.
I thought we were I don't know, like 11.
I was joking. I thought you were gonna say like yes, like 9, 10.
Oh no, sorry. Yeah, we were like, this is also at the end, so we were probably all 18. And then we spoke to all the old people at the end, you know, talking about, you know, school and just to kind of have a chat with them. And this whole time there was just piss on the floor.
Well, no. That has changed the whole entire story for me completely.
I should have mentioned that.
Wow. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I guess it does make it sound like we were children. No, we were. We were legally adults.
When you told me that earlier, I thought you were. I thought this was like your primary school or something.
Oh, no.
Wow. Okay.
I'm struggling to know what to say now. Because when you're like, as a child, you can be like that. I feel like that. Like loads of children have been there.
She wasn't going around
shame.
Talking to people with piss in her.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
God.
Oh, I'm actually a bit freaked out by this story.
The show must go on, guys. Come on.
I suppose the show must go on.
That's the second Wee story we've had.
But that one, that one seems a lot more, I don't know, like, it's not traumatic.
They're all laughing as well.
So was she laughing? Is that why she wet herself?
Yeah, because it was just so funny that we couldn't remember any of the words to the song, and we had like 40 people, you know, were there to do a show, and it was one of those hilarious things. And as we were all getting into position, the puddle just, and that this was like the second song we did, so it was a slip
how
hazard.
How many songs probably, did you have to do?
10.
Oh no, people just dancing around piss for half an hour.
I have nothing to say apart from I feel sorry for her, and I just
I think it's hilarious, to be honest. But
yeah, so do I, but like, I don't know, just when that's an adult, it just changes the whole complexion of that story, doesn't it, compared to a 10-year-old.
Well, thank you, Kate, for hopping on a Zoom in the other room. Because we're obviously.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
That's so sincere.
Did that sound sarcastic?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
Oh, let me try again. Thanks for having me.
Oh God. Okay, we'll take the first.
This gets worse.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
I mean, seriously though, that story, I can't. I don't know what it is, but why is it like that's acceptable? Or not acceptable, certainly. It's like easier to digest when you're 10, as a 10-year-old or something. But as an 18-year-old, suddenly it becomes a very kind of like, that is, what?
Yeah, but I guess like Pascal, when she was on, she was like, it's just when you're laughing so hard, you just can't control it.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, I suppose so.
We've said it before. We'll say it again. It's a good show. Where is it?
Lots to talk about.
Where's it gone?
We didn't even talk about the film music stuff I wanted to talk about, Tom. But well, that's okay.
No.
We can talk about that when we do something else, and I can ramble on about that another time.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the show. And if you want to, you know, get into contact with us, maybe you want to tell us about which recordings you listen to and why, or do you listen to individual songs on YouTube and then just start listening to all the performers that have ever done it on YouTube, like, just let us know. You can let us know at showshowpod@gmail.com. That is our email address. Or you can let us know with a direct message on Instagram or Twitter at show_show_pod. So please get in contact. Let's have an open conversation about musical theatre, because we all love it. That's why you're here. That's why we're here. And that's why we're never going away.
I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that was Kiss of the Spider-Woman. Bye!
Goodbye!